Veda, Vacha, Seth, Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Hey, unto you, Shrita Sattvaya, shelter of the quality of goodness, Dharma Aninam, our religion, austerity, and penance, Cha, and Sutaye, source, Nirgunaya, transcendental to material qualities, Cha, and Yat, Avgum, Kasham, situation, Na, not, Aham, I, Veda, no, Apare, others, Api, certainly, Cha, and. Translation of personified Veda said, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Lord, the shelter of the quality of goodness, and therefore the source of all religion, austerity, and penance. For you are transcendental to all material qualities, and no one knows you or your actual position. Wherefore, in the material world, there is the trinity of the three material qualities. For Vishnu has accepted the superintendence of the quality of goodness, which is the source of religion, knowledge, austerity, renunciation, opulence, etc. Because of this, actual peace, prosperity, knowledge, and religion can be attained when the living entities are under the control of the quality of goodness in the material world. As soon as they are subjected to the control of the other two qualities, namely passion, the precarious condition of life becomes intolerable. But Lord Vishnu, in his original position, is always Niraguna, which means transcendental to these material qualities. Guna means quality and Nira means negation. This does not indicate, however, that he has no qualities. He has transcendental qualities by which he appears and manifests his pastimes. The positive transcendental qualitative manifestation is unknown to the students of the Vedas, as well as great stalwart demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Actually, the transcendental qualities are manifested only to the devotees, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, simply by discharging devotional service one can understand the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. Those who are in the mode of goodness can partially enter into the transcendental understanding, but it is advised in Bhagavad Gita that one has to surpass this. The Vedic principles are based on the three qualities of material modes. One has to transcend the three qualities, and then one can be situated in pure and simple spiritual life. Translation personified Vedic said, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Lord, the shelter of the quality of goodness, and therefore the source of all religion, austerity, and penance. Are you are transcendental to all material qualities, and no one knows you or your actual situation. Here, the Lord is described as taking shelter of sattva. Religion, etc., dharma, etc., arise. So it is true that Vishnu is the supervisor of sattva guna, which is a material mode. But we should not conclude that therefore the Lord is sattva guna. So the Lord actually pervades the whole material world, and he penetrates all the objects of the material world as Paramatma. That does not make him material. So similarly, though he's in charge of sattva guna, he is not sattvic, because sattva is a material guna. So we have to understand that the Lord actually is beyond the gunas. So that is stated here when it says nirgunaya. He's actually without gunas, even though he takes shelter of or give shelter to sattva guna. So there is a connection, because why does he take shelter or give shelter to sattva rather than rajas or tamas? Because it is superior to the other gunas. And it is in sattva that we have knowledge. and it is through knowledge we can understand we're not the body. So that is beneficial for the jiva. We do not get knowledge in tamas and rajas. So in the material world, as far as material gunas are concerned, sattva guna is the chance to get spiritual life. And the other gunas are not. Now, of course, that does not mean that people in tamaguna, rajaguna cannot get out of the material world. They can, because bhakti is available to everybody. But as far as gunas themselves are concerned, they don't supply any way of getting out. But sattva gives a way of getting out through knowledge. So knowledge, jnana, is sattva. Jnana is not nirguna, it is only sattva. That jnana means atma jnana. It is not transcendental, it is only sattva. But it allows one to go for liberation. So, of the three modes, sattva is considered superior to the other modes because of this. So there is a direct means to liberation from sattva, and only indirectly through tamaguna and rajaguna. You have to eventually get to sattva-guna to get out. So, in that way of the gunas, sattva-guna is better. So, Vishnu also takes charge of this guna in the material world. He supervises this guna. And what is this guna? Of course, it has knowledge. And it maintains the material world. So we see that Vishnu interferes when there is problems with the big demons in this material world. So he maintains the status quo of this material world and protects Dharma so that living entities get a chance to advance spiritually. So that is why he takes charge of sattva. At the same time, he is not in sattva. He is connected to it, but he is not contaminated by sattva, raja, or tamas. So he is said to be here nirguna, beyond the gunas. So in this context, nirguna does not mean without qualities, but without the material gunas. That's what it means. So that is the what is stated here. So the Vedas are speaking here. And they are offering the respects to the Lord who produces Dharma, etc. So this is the subject matter of the Vedas. We have Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha. So the Vedas deal with this. Of course, the Moksha part is Nirguna, and the other three parts are in the Gunas. So the Vedas do not completely deal with Maya, they also deal with spiritual subjects. But a lot of people are attracted to the Vedas for their material qualities, Artha, Dharma, and Kama. So that is why Krishna says, Nistray Gunya Bhavarjuna, rise above the Gunas. And he says that the Vedas, three Vedas are made of the gunas. That is because of prominence. It's not that they're all completely material, but there's a prominence of material things, Artha, Dharma, and Kama. Now there is also moksha there, but that is less. So therefore Krishna rejects the Vedas, not completely, but that part which preaches Artha, Dharma, and Kama. So, not rejects completely, but these are lesser in comparison to spiritual advancement. So therefore, the more important part is not staying in the material, but getting out of the material world. So he encourages that by saying, Nistray Gunya Bhava Arjuna, rise above the gunas. And the Vedas are attached to that, so you just reject those Vedas. So, the Vedas do also have portions, the Gyan portion, which talks about the Nirguna aspect of the Lord. The Lord beyond the material qualities, etc. And it encourages the jivas to give up karma and material bodies, etc. So it's part of the Vedas, does deal with the spiritual subject matter also. Here it is stated that no one knows you. That means that on our own we cannot know the Lord if we have guidance from scripture, of course, then we get the opportunity for that, but on our own we have no chance of knowledge of the Supreme Lord, so we have to accept scripture. Even if we accept scripture, however, there is a chance we will not know the Lord. We may know Brahman, but we will not know Vishnu. So therefore we have to go to the proper person, and then we'll get knowledge of Vishnu, of Krishna. So we'll have to go to the devotees for that. We have scripture, we have the devotees, and through that we can understand the Supreme Lord. But independently we cannot do those things. So the scriptures, like the Vedas, do describe and mention Vishnu as supreme. And so that information is there. So if we have devotees and they explain the scriptures properly, then we can understand the nature of the Supreme Lord and that he is beyond the material qualities, etc. So it is possible by accepting scripture and accepting the devotees of the Lord. That is the way in which we actually can know the Supreme Lord. That knowledge of the Supreme Lord, of course, is in two parts. One is to accept the existence of the Lord and his form and qualities, etc., that which we can get from the scripture. The other is to realize it. So both can only be attained through bhakti. If we're not devotees, we will not accept the qualities, forms, and activities of the Lord when we speak of realize them. And we may accept scripture, but we will not understand those portions that deal with the form and qualities of the Lord. So only the devotee will be able to understand that. So one has to practice bhakti also. And then we can understand the nature of the Supreme Lord and his wonderful qualities, and we can get realization of that. So knowledge of the Lord is there, but only under particular circumstances. That is, one has to practice bhakti, one has to be a devotee, one has to go to the scripture, etc., and take shelter of the those people who have realization of the Lord. So here the Vedas are offering respects to that Supreme Lord. So he plays both roles. One, he encourages dharma and therefore karma yoga. And he's also nirguna, and he encourages liberation from the material world. So artha, dharma, kama, and moksha are there. However, we see that the Lord himself is standing before the people at the sacrifice. So it does not only refer to Brahman. In other words, liberation is not only nirguna Brahman, but it also refers to the Supreme Lord in his personal feature, because the Lord is actually standing in front of them. So they're offering respects to that Lord who is nirguna, who is without material qualities. So therefore, liberation can mean liberation in Brahman, impersonal liberation, or it can also mean realization of the Supreme Lord. In this case, it must mean the Lord, because they're speaking directly to the Supreme Lord and offering their obeisances to him. One cannot offer obeisances to Brahman because it has no form. And if one realizes that there's no difference between oneself and Brahman. So here they're offering their respects to the Supreme Lord, who is Nirguna. So that means Lord without material gunas, but with a form and qualities and activities, etc. So this is Supreme Lord Bhagavan. So just as previously the sages and others, the munis or the yogis had realization of God in his three features, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. You're also, the Vedas also contain such knowledge. They will describe the Lord as Brahman in the Upanishads. They'll describe him as Paramatma, and they'll describe him as Bhagavan. So the Vedas also have an understanding of this. We have to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord, that he has different ways of appearing, but they are not different. They're all part of the Supreme Lord. Well, not completely, as I said, because they also deal with moksha. Well, no, he's in the Vedas also, but he's not directly there. But Vishnu is definitely there in the Vedas. So many verses on Vishnu, Purusha Shukta, etc. So it's not that they're completely in the gunas, but a large portion is, and a lot of people are attracted to the Vedas for those material aspects. And therefore, Krishna says, reject the Vedas. Yeah, well, moksha is beyond but we'll see that the Vedas also mention Vishnu. So it's not only Artha, Dharma, Kama and Emperor, so they also have Vishnu there. Vishnu is also there. So it's not just completely absent, but many people are either attracted to karma or jnana. So therefore, they misunderstand and they neglect the aspect of Bhagavan. They'll go to liberation or they get Svarga Loka or whatever, that's all. Well, they deal with matter also. In that sense, you can say they're material. But obviously, we understand that karma, jnana, and yoga, and bhakti are all part of the process. So in that sense, they're spiritual, and that they're supposed to lead ultimately to spiritual life. But in themselves, they do not give a spiritual result. Karma just only gets you to svarga. And the other processes are not independent of bhakti. Also, to give something beyond material world. So we cannot say that they are spiritual in themselves. Only bhakti is. Vedas are eternal. Yeah. In that sense, I said, yeah. But I said that the topics in there are not, say, are not, don't directly give spiritual life, but they are spiritual in the sense that they're all meant to lead there. Just like we have sadhana bhakti, one sense you can say that's material because you've still got a material body and still got contamination in your mind, but it's a process by which we get to the position where we don't have, so it's part of the sadhana. So you can say that in the same way the karma and jnana are sadhana is leading to bhakti.
Does it mean that Vedas are material? Does it speak about that transcendental?
No, as I said, I already said this.
Last paragraph.
Huh? Yeah, but if the Vedas are not spiritual, why do we have them at all? Reject them. Why do we accept the scripture? I said only by predominance. Obviously, they do the jnana portion deals with liberation. That's spiritual. It's beyond the gunas. So we cannot say the Vedas do not deal with spiritual subjects. And they also describe Vishnu. So Purusha Shukta is there. So many. In fact, everyone accepts the fact that Vishnu is the main deity in the Vedas. That's spiritual. So I cannot say that's material. But a lot of people think the Vedas are only karma kanda, and they get attracted to that. Artha, Dharma, and Kama, not even moksha. So that is why the Vedas get rejected by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita.
These the atheistic philosophy of Bhagavata, is it prevalent on other planetary systems or on higher planetary
systems? Atheistic philosophies? Well, not much, because we have, they may have jnana, definitely. differently because we have Kapaloka, which is made up of sannyasis and whatnot, who could be simply impersonalists or whatever. And we have many sages who are of various sorts, who could be impersonal or personal. And devatas recognize the Supreme Lord. They're put in that position because they have to follow the orders of the Supreme Lord, so they recognize him. And he appears on their planet as Vamanadeva, so they recognize him also.
In this assembly, what are expected not to be impersonalists?
What's that?
In this assembly,
we'll also have sages who are more inclined towards impersonalism. So even in the when Krishna appeared in Mathura in the wrestling arena, it said there were also sages there. So it's not that everybody's a devotee that he's Krishna. Some are sages. And they appreciate him, but they see him more as Brahman than as... because of they're fixed in Brahman, they appreciate the Brahman aspect more than anything else.
Okay,
Well, they get benefit according to their appreciation of the Lord. How can we know whether a devotee is in sattva or vasuddha? Well, vasuddha sattva means beyond the material modes. Sattva means in the mode. So technically a devotee is beyond the modes and then he practices bhakti because bhakti is nirguna. He may be contaminated, but nevertheless the bhakti portion, which makes him a devotee, is nirguna. If one is in the Suda Sattva, it means he will not fall down. Well, one has to be fixed in that position. Can we understand that most devotees are in sattva guna trying to... No, well, as I said, it's only a matter of the bhakti. The bhakti itself is not contaminated, but it may be covered or mixed with various elements, that's all.
You find like Mahajana and Shiva, because when they act, then they get aggravated because of the mode of passion.
Well, it depends on their position. If Shiva is a jiva, then it is possible he will actually be in the modes. If he is Vishnu himself, then he cannot be in the modes. But he can act as if he is. Brahma also is a jiva and may be in the modes, but sometimes he's also the Supreme Lord. And in our particular Brahma, it was promised at the beginning of his life, he'll never be bewildered. So therefore, if there's any bewilderment, it's only an arrangement of Krishna.
Even when
Oh, that again we have to attribute to pastimes only. Only pastimes. If they're real aparadis, how could they be devotees at all? But the association of Lord Chaitanya are Nityasiddhas, actually. So we cannot attribute them, give them material qualities. Yeah. So that again we have to attribute as pastimes only, part of their pastimes. Material world, but they're actually interested in devotees. Yeah, that again is Leela only. He was bewildered by Krishna. Because he was promised by Krishna he would never become bewildered in his lifetime. So therefore it's not that he's in Maya. Krishna does this for his pastime. We say the same thing about Arjuna. He refuses to fight in the battlefield. Is he in Maya? No. It's the Lord's Maya. Or Parikshit. Why does he put a snake around the Brahmin's neck when he was a great devotee of the Lord? Is he in Maya? No. He is sort of Krishna's arrangement only. Yeah, that was Krishna's arrangement, so Bhagavatam was spoken. It was not his fault, actually. We cannot blame Parikshit for that.
Sometimes devotees may take advantage of that particular situation, that they even may affect the whole life force, right? Like an angry.
Well, but those, they were talking about Nityasiddha devotees, not about devotees in this material world. We're talking about very great devotees, or devotees who have directly seen the Lord, not people who are in the material world.
So you said it's not just a devotee in the external situation. We don't know who's a pure and...
No, we don't, to some degree. As Madhyamadikaris, one has to judge to some degree, otherwise we don't know how to treat anybody, so we do have to have some knowledge. We don't know perfectly, nevertheless with our intelligence we can figure out something.
Even Lord Rama committed offense to Krishna, but he waited till Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and deliver him.
It depends. There's different definitions of Uttamadhikari. One is a devotee doing sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, and he's called Uttamadhikari. Yeah? Another Uttamadhikari is one who is completely seeing Krishna at all times. So that one definitely is beyond the most material nature.
Thank you.